You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it
moment.
Come down to the signal. Right down, Ben Davis. Right down, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored
every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the Arby's here on West 10th Street. I am your host, Corey Vinks, being joined by Jeff Robinson. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great.
It's a good night here. It's a nice crisp fall evening here to talk about football here on the West Side. I'm also being joined by John East. How are you doing, sir?
I'm okay.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
I'm also being joined by the main man himself, Coach Fisher. How are you doing, Coach?
Good. It's nice to be going into the final regular season game as we prepare for the Panthers here, and it's good to be back at Arby's.
Well, Coach, last Friday, the Giants got a good win over a good Lawrence Central team, 33-13. Why don't you tell us about the game, Coach?
Very good Lawrence Central team. We thought it was one of the better defenses we saw all year. They got a linebacker named O'Grand, who I think is really good. Their nose man was awesome. What I think is a Division I DN, Division I corner. Again, when you look at the teams we played, we think they're one of the top two, maybe three defenses we played all year. And we were able to amass 450 yards. We moved the ball well at times. Again, unfortunately for us, some of the things that bite us are penalties. We had some interesting scenarios. We had a couple interceptions that were uncharacteristic of us. And defensively, I was really pleased with the way we came out and played. Early, started off with an interception on the first play of the game, set up the offense in a short field, got a good score. But more importantly, I was really pleased at the start of the second half. We came out first, we got the ball, we were 14-13 at half, came out the second half, and we started with the ball on the first play through a pick deep in our own territory. And, all the momentum had shifted at that point. LC was all fired up and should have been. They made a great play, and we went deep in our own territory, and our defense came out and held and didn't allow a score, and then later on did the same thing, held them deep in our own end. There's been times this year when teams have gotten deep in our end, and we kind of not played our best defense. I felt like Friday night we had a couple stops in the third quarter that kind of kept us in the game, and then the offense started clicking. Hit a big play on a third and 25 design blow for 40 yards to set up the score, and Reese ended up with five rushing touchdowns, which I know we're alluding to off the air, that tied a school record, I believe, with guys like Chad Fraunfelter, and I don't know who else. There are probably several in that. Who's that?
Jamel Reed.
There are several in that category. So, that gives him 18 rushing touchdowns on the season, which is pretty unique for a quarterback.
Demetrius Jefferson,
back in that would have been about 2004 when Tom Allen was the head coach. And overall, I thought we did some good things on special teams. Although we were solid, we missed a couple PATs again. We're still working on that part of our game. We're not doing real well there. But good team win. We needed it. We needed to bounce back after the Carmel loss because that was very disappointing for the team and the program. So now we bounced back well, and then we got to build on that.
Just kind of following up, you mentioned how important this win was for your team. How much emphasis did you really put on this game to get that win in terms of the importance to your season?
Well, the importance of the season, you want to win every game because it's about building blocks and building success and feeling good about what you're doing. And we needed to feel good. Our heads were down after the Carmel game. We felt like we were in position to win that game, and Carmel kind of took it away from us because they're pretty good. And so we needed it for a self-confidence thing, get a pep back in our step and use it as a building block as we get close to the tournament. We're going to go on the road again this weekend and have to play at North Central. We just came off a big win Friday night against Pike. And so we got to use that. We're on fall break, which is always a challenging time for us, getting our kids up out of bed each morning, getting them to practice each day and and not having them go to dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, driver's ed appointments, and any other appointment you can think of. So it's a constant challenge this week, not just from a football standpoint, but getting them here every day.
Coach, I know you talk about how fall break's kind of a challenge for your team. What different things do you do over fall break? How does practice change?
Practice itself doesn't change. The time of it changes. We now we bring in the upperclassmen. They lift at 8 a.m. The sophomores lift at 8:35. We're in film at 9. We're on the field at 9:30, and we're off at 11:30. What really changes is all the downtime the kids have from 11:30 in the morning until we re-see them again at 8 a.m. the next morning. They're used to practice until 6, you know, getting out of the locker room about 6:30, going home, having a few hours, going to bed, then getting back up and going to school, and it's a routine. And when you get out of that routine, it takes you a while. I thought Monday practice was okay. They were pretty upbeat. I thought yesterday practice was really flat. You know, I don't know if it's because they were up late the night before and they found out they can stay up late and they only got a few hours to work in the morning. So, and then on top of that, you're missing kids. Parents schedule appointments, even though we tell them to schedule them for the afternoons. They schedule them for the mornings, and they'll say, well, they got to go. We've already scheduled the appointment. And, you know, we give them the calendars in March, and you can hear the frustration in my voice because I do get frustrated with it, because we give them the calendar in March and say, set your schedules around the calendar. And they'll say a.m. practice, 8 to 11 a.m. or whatever. And we hope pretty much, I mean, when we said 11:30, we were off the field at 11:30 this morning. So that challenge is really been tough for us. And it's now been, I don't know how long we've been on the balance calendar, 4 years. And it hasn't gotten any easier. You know, today I think we were missing 10 through 12. I think we were missing 18 kids that didn't make practice. You know, and some of them are key kids. Some of them play. Some of them start. And they're not at practice. So it's a tough part for us, but it's something we've been dealing with, and we just got to keep dealing with it.
Well, Coach, on Friday, Reese Taylor threw 3 interceptions, and it seemed like some of the pass selection he was making wasn't really usual the way he usually makes selections on his pass. Sometimes he was overthrowing it when you need to throw it at the chest. Sometimes you throw it at the chest when you need to lob one up there. Have you tried to address Reese's pass selection?
Yeah, what you're seeing is the end result of the play. The reality of it, on 2 of the interceptions, the receivers ran the wrong route. So he was throwing it to where the receiver was supposed to be, and the receiver decided to do something different. So 2 of those 3 interceptions weren't actually on Reese. One was just a bad throw. Those happen, and it's the first one. You go back to Carmel of last year. I think it's his first multiple interception game since Carmel of last year when we were up 21-7. He threw a couple back-to-back picks. But it's going to happen. You know, it's kids make mistakes. You try to fix it, and we'll move from there. But he ended up 25 for 41 for 254 yards. I think he's thrown for, we put a lot of pressure on Reese to make plays. And he usually answers the challenge. He's thrown for over 1,500 yards. He's rushed for over 500. As a team, we have 3,400 yards of offense in 8 games, and we've only given up 2,000 yards of offense in 8 games. We're a plus 1,400 yards, which at this point in the season is one of the best I've ever been around yardage differential. Part of our scoring problem, though, and some people don't even realize this, I'll give you another stat if you're in the stats here a little bit. Of our 8 games, 7 of those games, we have scored 5 touchdowns or more in 7 of the 8 games. The only one that's held us under 5 touchdowns is Center Grove.
It's hard to believe that we're already through 8 weeks of this season. Whenever you sit today going into the final game of the regular season, how does your outlook of this team differ from where you were at the beginning of the year?
That's a really good question. I really haven't thought about that. I see the improvement in the films, but like I just got done watching our morning's practice film for the last few hours, and like I'm seeing things on our offensive line. I'm watching them run inside zone, and I'm seeing all 5 linemen step in unison, whereas 5 weeks ago, there'd be 3 on the same page and 2 that'd be a half a step behind. So you've seen the building blocks of what Scott Williams is doing with the offensive line. But then on the other hand, you're watching some things and you're looking at it going, man, I told you quit doing that 10 weeks ago. Why is that still rearing its ugly head? And so I think there's a lot of positives, a lot of building blocks along the way, a lot of things we've done well that have kept this thing going. I like where we're at right now. I like where we're at compared to last year's team at this point in time. But they still make me really nervous because we're still missing some things in the penalty area, in the discipline area, and the attention to detail area.
When you look at Lawrence Central and what they have left of the season, I think they play Carmel. I think they go to Carmel. But then they end up in a sectional that they could win. It's Cathedral's kind of taking a turn down, and who knows where they'll be here in a couple of weeks. But when you look at the opportunity to maybe play them again, where do you think LC stands on the season compared to where they've been the last couple of years? I know they've had a pretty good year.
Yeah, well, Bill Peebles has done a great job in his first year. I think he's I don't know, 5-3 on the season, the same record as us right now. And he's had some big wins in there. He started off 3-0, and I think he kind of likes where he's at in the sectional. You know, he drew a North Central team that he had to come from behind to win in the last 2 minutes, so he knows that opening game is going to be really tough for him. He's real young on offense. They got a lot of seniors on defense, but they're real young on offense. They start 4 sophomores on offense, but they have athletes, and the Bell kid and quarterback's big, tall, and he can throw it. Danielle can throw it pretty well. I think he likes his chances with North Central, and he'll appreciate the winner of Cathedral Lawrence North, which I think, you know, I don't know what's going on at Cathedral. It's kind of caught everybody off guard here. I know he's had some injuries. Who hasn't at this point? You know, Joey Person's been out for us, and Nick Brown's been out for us. And Chris Moody's only been playing part-time. So we've had our fair shares like everybody else. And we've never had Poppy, you know, so... You know, we've all had that, but it's we're all kind of battling it. You know, if we can get through this week and get a good road win and then try to get healthy, we got 2 weeks prepared for the sectional.
Well, Coach, Lawrence Central last night played a very aggressive, very physical type of defense. Seemed to catch our offense off guard for most of the game up until about the fourth quarter. Can you talk about Lawrence Central's defense?
Well, it's a different defense. It's a 3-3 stack defense. We haven't seen it yet this year. The only other team we know that runs it like they do is Cathedral. Avon runs an assemblance of it, but it's different. It's a different style than what they're running. So it took us a little bit of time for our kids to get used to what they're doing and how they're doing it. And in that 3-3 stack, you're playing 3 down linemen. It looks like you ought to be able to run the ball, but what they do in a 3-3 stack defense is they blitz 2-3 linebackers on every play. So you're always kind of picking your poison on where they're coming from. It's a little bit of a feast and famine, and they catch you sometimes, and when they don't catch you, like on 3rd and 25, he blitzed and didn't catch us, and Zion Boyle goes for 40 on a 3rd and 25, which was a critical play because it was still 14-13 at the time, and that led to our third touchdown and put us up 8, which gave us a little bit of breathing room. So it's a tough defense because we just don't see it. Now this week we're back to a 4-man front defense, and they're a 4-2-5, 4-3 type defense. Next week, against Brownsburg, it'll be a 4-man front defense, and that's kind of what people run. So this was an adjustment for us because it was so unique.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football. When we come back, we'll preview the game against the now 1-7 North Central Panthers. So a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. The Giants this Friday take on a now 1-7 North Central Panthers team coming off a win over the Pike Red Devils. Coach, tell us about North Central.
A big win. I mean, you know, they were down 21-12 at half and scored, 30 in the second half. Big drive right at the end. They were down 35-28, big drive, got kicked out back. It was 35-34, got the ball back, went down and scored with a couple minutes to go. And as we all know, Pike's a very athletic team. What we get from North Central is a really talented quarterback, Cole McGuire, throws the ball well, but more importantly, he runs the ball well. They're running beer and midline option. They give you a lot of formations and a lot of variations. They'll give you one back, eye backs, twins, trips, tray, trio. They give us all kinds of things to look at and put you in conflict. On the defensive side, I'm real impressed with their defensive line. Big, physical kids. I think their safeties play downhill. They're running a 4-3 defense. And you can tell they work really hard at getting better at what they're doing. And they've been close. They lose to Lawrence North by 8. They lose to Lawrence Central by 4. They're right there. I mean, they're on the cusp of. I just hope they don't get right there this Friday. Kevin's doing a good job. He really is. It's a tough thing when you're down. And I alluded to this very early in the radio shows way back when we first started, that when you're down, our conference doesn't let you get up very easily because our conference is so good. And all the teams have such good athletes that once you get down, it kind of has a tendency to hold you there. And so we're going to have our hands full. Like I said, it's fall break. I'm worried about our kids' focus, our kids' attention to detail, all those things. So we got to go up there. We're going to play in a hostile environment. They're going to be wound up. They're coming off a first victory in quite some time. So we're going to have our hands full.
North Central went through an extended losing streak and had a long way to go to get back to this competitive level. What have you been most impressed about their team in terms of its level of improvement?
I'm going to back it up. The first thing I'm most impressed with, and people probably don't realize, when you watch film, and I'm one of those, when I watch my countless hours of film, I'm not only watching them, I watch the sideline. You know, there's, for instance, at LC, they had a running back early in the year, number 5, that was doing a lot of carries. So I kept scanning the sideline after every play, and number 5 against North Central was in street clothes. So the first thing I watched when Lawrence Central got off the bus was 5 in pads or in street clothes. Because when I watched him run early in the year, I thought he was pretty good. And that's why they were playing number 4, Childs. And so I'm scanning the sidelines. And the thing I noticed most about North Central on the sidelines is even when they're getting beat, in the Warren game, in the Lawrence North game, their sidelines were always into it. The kids are jumping up and down. They're excited. They're fighting. And that's a sign that they believe in their coaches. They believe in what the coaches are selling them. And they're giving it what they got. And that's when you're losing, and I've been on that side. People don't remember, but I'll take you back to 1996 at Cascade when we went 0-9. My biggest challenge was not coaching. All right, my biggest challenge was getting the kids to believe in what I was selling and show up every day and work hard. Guys like Shotwell and Danny Nichols, and I can still remember Corey Whitkey and Jason Bennett. I can still remember these kids' names. You know, Tony Appleby. It was about getting them to show up and say, all right, coach, we're not winning. It doesn't look like we're going to win very much, but we're going to show up because you told us to. And that's a sign that I've been there. So I know what Kevin was going through, and his kids have not lost faith in what he was selling. And that's a sign of a good person and a good coach.
This series, you know, I like to take the long view of the series. North Central and Mendavis have played 67 times, which makes it the second most contested series, I suppose you could say, in Ben Davis football history. Number one being Warren Central with 90 meetings, but the Giants are up 36-31 in the series. It's been very close overall. Over time, people I don't think realize that North Central, this has not been where they've been historically. Historically, they're a very good football program, and it's only been in the last maybe 10 years that they've fallen on hard times. Certainly you haven't had that situation at Ben Davis where you've seen a program fall to the depths that maybe where they are, but you have taken Ben Davis back to the state championship level from where you guys were. So not that you were ever that far off, but when you what's it like to try to revitalize a program that has struggled? And I know maybe that's the wrong way to put it because I don't think Ben Davis has ever been to that level. But, you know, what's that like to have to try to bring back a program that has had a glorious past and bring them back to a level that their fans are comfortable with?
You're talking about North Central's program, and you go back in time. I can remember 93, they lost the semi-state to Bloomington South, when Bloomington South had Bobar Boslaroskis. North Central had, oh my gosh, I can't even think of it, Strayhorn.
big D linemen. They were really good. The next year, I believe Ben Davis in 94. John, you might have to correct me on this. Wasn't Ben Davis 8-0 and got beat in the first round of the tournament?
Yes, that's correct. Ben Davis had beaten North Central at North Central earlier that year, and it threw North Central first game of the tournament. And I believe it was like 20-2 or something like that.
Yeah, and so I remember that. I also remember when talking to Tom Allen years ago when he first got hired by Coach Delahan, and, you know, maybe wrong here, 98, I believe, was Tom's first year. When Tom got here, one of the things Dick always did when he was hiring new coordinators, he'd give him a game film and said, how would you game plan to beat this team? He didn't give him Warren's game film or Carmel's game film. He gave him North Central's game film because that's how hard it was to beat them at the time. They had Al Harris there. They were running that run-and-shoot offense, screens and option stuff, and it was a real challenge for everybody to beat them. They were really good. They were at the top of their game. I remember my first year here, we played them in 2000. We played them down at the Hoosier Dome at the time before it got tore down. And I remember going to the fourth quarter. I think we were up a score or two. And we had James Banks, and we were really good. And we were number one in the state, and we were fighting like dogs to win. So it has just been a recent. How you get out of that, I don't know. You got to work. I know at Cascade, for me, it was about changing a mentality in the weight room. You know, the idea that we only show up when we feel like it or when it's not deer season. You know, I actually lost kids my second year there because they said, you have to be at weights. And they said, we're going hunting after school. I said, either show up or you're done. They said, then we're done. And so I lost some really good kids, unfortunately. But the next year we went from 0-9 to 6-3 and kind of turned it around a little bit. And it's a tough place at a small school. But you got to get lucky. The ball's got to bounce your way. You got to find a way to sneak some out. And then you got to find athletes. The bottom line is, you know, you've heard the old adage, you can have all the X's and O's, but if my Jimmies are better than your Joes, I win. And there's some truth to that. You know, I've been around long enough that when we had James Banks and Dick Delahan saying, just make sure he gets on the bus and we'll win, you know, because James was better than everybody on the field. And that was both sides of the ball. You go back in time, he was the only person that I know of in Indiana football history that won Mr. Football as a quarterback and a DB at the same time. He won it in two positions in the same year. I don't think that's ever been done. And it's hard to even fathom that. So when your Jimmies are better than your Joes, you have a chance. And sometimes in the last few years, Kevin's been a little outmanned physically. I don't know that that's so much the case this year. Because he's been in games. He's been in quite a few games, and they're getting closer.
Well, North Central, you could say, was fairly unlucky to be sitting at 1-7 as they played close games against Fishers, Lawrence Norris, Carmel, and Lawrence Central, and they're finally getting the win over Pike. It seems like they're not a terrible team. What's the aspect of this North Central team that scares you the most?
One, their quarterback. Cole McGuire's ability to run the ball is one of the things that scares me the most. I like their receivers. They got a big 6'5 kid on the outside, another possession receiver at 5'8. I think their running backs, 28, 22, 3, all run extremely hard, very athletic kids. And their offensive line has gotten better. But the biggest thing is their quarterback. He really, really worries me. Before we got on the air, that's what I was doing. I was texting all my coaches from film today, and we're going to make some adjustments in practice tomorrow because I don't think we're doing a very good job right now accounting for him.
You were mentioning the X's and O's. Kevin Heinhager was a successful quarterback in high school and college. What does that add in terms of a challenge for you coaching against him?
Well, he was. He was very successful for Joe Goodman down at Seymour. Then went on and had a stellar career at UIndy, breaking all kinds of passing records at UIndy. The challenge is he understands offensive scheme, and he understands how offensive schemes attack defensive schemes. You know, we're a 4-2-5 team. He knows how to attack us, so we've got to do a really good job of making sure he doesn't know what we're doing. He can't. We can't let him figure us out. We got to move around. We got to keep him guessing because he does know how to play the game.
As you look ahead, and I know you don't look ahead, but you do have Brownsburg sitting there in a couple of, well, I guess 3 weeks now, right? Because of the 28th, there's the now the bye week is the first week of sectional, or what would have been the first week of sectional, now a bye week. Is there any consideration for players at this point? Do you you sit players to rest them, or they're healthy, they play. If they're healthy, they play. We do not sit anybody. I've met with the trainer today on some kids that have been kind of dinged, and she says, I think they can go, and the answer is then they go. You know, we don't have the luxury, you know, maybe a couple of years ago in North Central we had that. We don't have that luxury. But if we don't come to play Friday night, we'll be in a shootout, and we won't be happy walking off the field. 2 years ago, we went up there with the 2014 team that ended up winning it all. And we struggled for about a quarter and a half to get going. Now, I reminded my coaches on Sunday that we didn't get going until Kyle broke about a 70-yard run down the sideline. Up till that point, it was 0-0. We would get some first downs. We'd turn it over. We'd get some first downs, there'd be a penalty. You know, we were playing okay on defense, but we weren't playing well. And even last year, we struggled early with them. You know, we ended up getting away from them in the end, but we don't have that luxury. We're not. You know, we're not such an elite team that we can just sit there and say, hey, you five guys take the day off and we'll see what happens.
Well, Coach, like you said, penalties, as you're talking about that 2014 team, penalties have been a huge issue for this team this year, the little mental errors. How have you we've been talking about this all season. What have you guys tried to do in practice to really try to fix the issue? Because once you play against a team like Brownsburg, throw that up fast.
Yeah, well, we just addressed it with the team. We met with the team again on Saturday, and we went through all the penalties. We had six Friday night, which is actually about five under our norm, which doesn't make it good. And we were actually under 100 yards, which is about 30 under our norm. So, you know, me and Bill Peebles were laughing for the game on who gets the most. And I said, Bill, we got to lead the conference. He goes, oh, no, we lead the conference. I said, how's that possible? I said, And then he gets one for the night, and we get six. You know, now a couple of those were declined. We declined a couple of theirs, and they did the same as us. But some of them are just a lack of discipline. You know, we got an unsportsmanlike on our sideline because they tackled our guy on the sideline, and one of our guys who doesn't even play in the game pushed their kid. So we get 15 yards, and he has no bearing on the game. But now he backs our offense up 15. Then we get called for intentional grounding, which backs us up another 10. Then we throw a pick, which gives them the ball to the 10-yard line. If we don't give them the ball to the 10-yard line, they may get one score on the night. You know, we gave them a short field on that one with a 10-yard drive. And like I said, they only had 160 yards total offense for the night. It wasn't like they were explosive offensively, at least on that particular night. So we address it constantly. Some of them are just, I always tell them, I can handle penalties where we're trying to make a play and it just doesn't work. You know, one of our face masks, the guy's reaching out and the arm grabs the face mask. It happens. You know, when you block a guy in the back, that's dumb. That's just dumb. And we had one of those Friday night because that means you're not, if I can't see you, I can't hit you. If I can't see your face, I can't hit you. And we just went over and shoved the guy in the back. Well, those are dumb penalties in my mind. So we try to address it. We talk about it every week in meetings and practice and focus on the process. And we'll go from there. You hope it rids itself here real quick.
Well, Coach, the Giants play the North Central Panthers in the final regular season game of the season. What are your final thoughts?
We need to play well. We're gonna have a tough test for us on Friday night. We need to go up to North Central and try to put four quarters together. That's the real big challenge for us. I know Purple Rain's on fall break this week, and select the seniors in town get up there and help cheer us on. And it's supposed to be a cool evening, but sunny and nice, and it'll be a good night for Friday night football.
Well, as we said, the Giants take on the North Central Panthers this Friday up at North Central. Pre-game will start at 6 o'clock, and kickoff will start at 7 on WBDG. Do not tune in next week to Inside Mendez Football. We are going to be off that week. We'll be back Tuesday the 25th. You can tune in then, and I'll be on a sectional preview for the game against Brownsburg. I think that's it for all of us here at the Arby's of West Century.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.